Wait,
Back
now
from the dead.
I will take the liberty to reintroduce you to this group because some of the people, maybe since you've not been here since the last time, that's, they don't know who you are.
Thank you so
I'll
much.
need a reintroduction as well.
Oh, good. You are such a rock star. Thank you so much for carrying the banner and being the voice, the face, the heart, the hustle.
The heart, the hustle.
The whole deal. Thank
Love,
you so much.
The preacher.
The preacher.
Not at all. I hope that you brought me back a great treat from your travels. If not, you'll need to like ship something in.
We did. We did. So when are we going to get together?
Well, soon. I might see your wife on Friday, so maybe I'll pop by after that. So you've got like 48 hours to FedEx something to your house really fast.
Oh, no. We've got the goods. Don't worry. It's well.
Are we recording yet, or are we just messing around?
We're recording.
Oh.
Well, we can pause that.
Nope. I believe let's flow the real show, always.
Keep it real, real and raw.
Well, good. Well, do you want to lead out and kind of just introduce yourself and tell people who you are and a little bit about what you do?
Oh, yeah. Let me get the Facebook Live started first.
Okay. Yeah, we want to pop them in too.
Yeah. Facebook people are people too.
Hey, everybody matters in our world.
Dang it. I hit the wrong thing. Okay, let me share this to Paige. So tell us about your world.
Well, again, I want to be courteous to our guest here today and have you be politely introduced. No, it is. It's so good to see you. Okay, just let me know if we're live and ready to go on there too.
Okay, 2 seconds. If I can spell coaching right. Okay. We are... Wait for it.
It says to me we're recording live on Facebook. It gives the prompt.
Okay, we're live.
Okay. Hey, welcome everyone to the Share Success Zoom call. I'm so excited today. We have a very special guest and I'm so excited for you to meet him and learn from him today. He is a legend, even though it's been a minute since you've maybe heard or seen this gentleman, but the Andy Goddard is indeed live in the flesh with us. This is not a drill, people. This is not a stand-in or an extra. This is the real deal.
Thank you so much for that kind introduction. Tiffany, is it Tiffany?
Yes. Most people call me Tiffany, but some people in this, sometimes I am referred to as Tiffany or Tiffany.
Okay.
Tiffany is a good one too. I prefer. Yeah.
Well, thank you so, so much. It is so good to be back. We had an awesome time. We had an incredible connection with our leaders in Australia. I hosted my first Courageous Leadership event, and that was so, so fun. And then the kids came over and my parents and my aunt, and we toured around Australia for a week and then New Zealand for a week. And man, traveling with six kids on a 24-hour flight both ways is just a little bit exciting. So, home has never felt so good. And whoever presented travel as being the most amazing, sexy thing you can do was trying to sell something. So all I can say is there's no place like home. So So good to be back and be with you. Thank you again, Tiffany, for carrying the torch while I was gone. And I'm sure that everyone has been well served.
Oh, we've had a really good time, but we did miss you. And it's so nice to see you again. I just felt like he might need to reintroduce himself just a little bit because it's been forever since we've
You are too funny. Thank you. for the
intro. Well, we just like to tease. I mean, I'm going to find always a way to razz him just a little bit. I mean, I think it kind of goes with the show. But if you're here with us on Zoom or Facebook Live, we'd love for you to say hello. Where are you joining us today? We'd love also to share, are there any oils you've used already this morning? And what are you using, or what are you diffusing? You know, what's kind of up for you? But I just, yeah, would love to hear from you where you're joining us from. Andy, I'd love, though, if you want to share just a little bit, teach us one gem from Courageous Leadership. I love that you've led that out, and I'd love to hear what's something that you shared from that.
So a lot of the content from that is inspired by Brené Brown's work on being brave and being vulnerable, and just showing up as your authentic self. And, you know, as we were leading that workshop, I towards the end of the day, there was a gal sitting towards the back, and she, I was just so impressed with the group and how willing they were to be fully present and really vulnerable. It helped that, our baggage didn't arrive until a day later. So we started the day without our workbooks. And that's actually a huge gift, because it helped everyone be so much more present. There was no rustling of papers. There was no, like, you know, just the busy work of filling in questions. It was just like, just you and the content. And so one of the gals raised her hand towards the end of the day and said, the breakthrough for me is that I actually am more present to my team than I am to my own husband. She said, it's easy for me to bring my whole heart to my doTERRA team, but when it comes to my very own marriage, I just realized today that I'm holding back, and I'm not giving, I'm not being as fully brave and as fully vulnerable. And that's the one that matters most. So that was just a really cool, share that she, offered that day. And I'm so grateful. When people do, they get curious, first of all, right? They start with saying, you know, I'm willing to look at what's imperfect in my life. And so that was the first step for her. But then the second step was getting really honest and just being willing to say, you know what? There are a lot of big payoffs in my doTERRA business. I get a lot of high fives, you know, lots of people get lots of great testimonials and product experiences. And marriage is not always the big payday. It's probably the place where you have to invest the most energy. And so we don't always get the quick payoffs. So anyways, that was just a kind of a cool experience at our Courageous Leadership training.
Well, there's nothing more I love than real talk, right? Like, let's talk about the real talk. So it sounds like you were doing that. And it's interesting as you say this, this has been up for me a little bit in my own thoughts and studies. And I shared this on Instagram on Sunday about the need to, from both thought processes, well, from lots of angles, but the power of keeping an open heart, right? And do you have an open heart? From part of the lesson is manifesting what you want requires an open heart. I also think that most spiritual teachers at some level are asking us about the quality of our heart, and is our heart open? And, you know, as humans, the thing about us is that we can tend to, you know, again, it's like an opening and then a constricting and an opening and constricting. But sometimes we can go through a hurt, we can be frustrated, or like in this case, you know, it's like pulling back and constricting, or having that in your experience where we're allowing our heart to shut down. We're allowing ourselves to pull back. We're moving ourselves to a constricted place with our heart versus the practice spiritually of regularly saying, I'm going to practice keeping an open heart. Some of you may have read a book called The Untethered Soul. If not, I really enjoy this book. And it took me a minute, and by a minute, a while, really, to get into it. I'd been gifted that book years ago, 2 copies for my birthday from 2 different people. And truthfully, I tried to read it at first and it just wasn't resonating. But one of my friends just kept sharing and sharing and sharing about it. And finally, she and I were talking about it, she said, if you need to, start with chapter 4. But I have it on Audible or physical copy. But he talks a lot about keeping an open heart, and where most of our struggles, heartaches, problems or challenges come, whether it's in our teens or in our marriages, as she's talking about, is we've closed our heart, right? And so it's this aspect of, is my heart open today? And that's a great reflection point for all of you to think about this Wednesday. Is my heart open today? Is my heart open to my spouse or to my team or to life, right? To God, to universe, whatever, you know, thinking about that for yourself is your heart open today? Versus a lot of times, and I get it, like being human too, and we've been through different things at times where we're tempted to close our hearts. I think this is a practice daily where various degrees. Now, I'm not talking about discernment where certain experiences or places or people, it is appropriate for us to remove or to have, you know, discernment about our heart. But really, it's like this overall life conversation. Is your heart open? And are you showing up open? Or have we allowed kind of things to, you know, hurts or judgments or fears or doubts to kind of close our hearts? So I love that you're sharing that, Andy. And I love her transparency and honesty, because I know there's probably others here that can relate to that, that like, oh, with my doTERRA team, man, I'm fully engaged. Or, but in these other places or relationships, I've been maybe a little more shut down.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like we come into this world totally wide open. Like our hearts are open, our minds are open, and it's adulting that closes us off and shuts us down. So I think really the purpose of this life is to forget how to be an adult and just go back to being a child, which is open.
Yeah.
Pure open. Yep.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Really good stuff. Well, we are thrilled to have you back, all teasing aside. So it's so nice to see you.
It's so good.
Glad you made it back in one piece. I can only imagine, you know, traveling with 6 kids for 24 hours was quite a personal growth opportunity for you.
Yep, multiple flights in between and lots of excitements with rental cars not being there and the whole deal. So just life, right? It's... Mm-hmm. It's a journey and it's an adventure. So, and I love my bed.
Amen to that.
So good. Well, should we jump into some coaching?
Let's do it.
Love it. So if you're on Zoom, we'd love to have you raise your hand. It's always great to connect in person. But you can also post a question in the chat box. If you're on Facebook Live, you can just post a comment or pop on over to Zoom. So,
yeah. Can I address the comment? It's shown up in the panelist box versus to all attendees, but from Essentially Restored, while we're waiting for some questions to populate.
Let's do it.
So the statement from Essentially Restored says, "It is the fear of rejection that I know shuts me down." And I think how many of you can relate to that, right? Like the fear of being rejected is a big thing that gets in your way, that shuts you down or holds you back, or perhaps the dynamic of feeling like, oh, this is why I don't maybe reach out as much or host as much or contact people or whatnot, is thinking about this. So a lot of that is just how we want to, what I call reframe rejection, and what's the story that we're telling ourselves about it. Right, is thinking about from the perspective, if we are coming to life and to business and to daily actions, that we've gotten anchored in purpose, right? So I just ask you, what's your purpose? Do you have clarity to that? Is it in writing, or is there an anchor piece in your space that brings you back to saying, I have, you know, this purpose, this is why I'm here? And at some level, all of you, your purpose is found in service, right? And choosing to show up to come from a place of service, I'm here to serve, to add value, right? Is it keeps you anchored heavily in both peace right? Which reduces that fear, but it also keeps you in a space of, I think you're more powerful influence, right? Is there's a content by Stephen Covey in his material, The Seven Habits, where he talks about your circle of influence and your circle of concern. And he draws them together. So like a donut, right? Like in the center circle is your circle of influence, the larger outer circle, circle of concern. The ideal is to expand that center of influence outward. But a lot of that, again, in our storytelling, in our mindset, is that we, that fear of rejection is, again, about what if I'm not liked, I'm not approved of, I'm afraid to feel that feeling. But a lot of times it's the fear of rejection that's holding us hostage than the actual experience of rejection. And that's really important to discern, is a lot of times where you're living is in your thoughts and your thinking is the fear of being judged, the fear of what will people think, the fear of being rejected, right? But it's, the reality is we've all been technically rejected and we're all still standing and we're still here today. It's that our fear of it can sometimes keeps us captured. But another thought I like to share that I learned from one of my mentors, Jack Canfield, years ago, and he calls it reject rejection, is he uses the example is if I ask, let's say there's someone I ask to come to my class, or I ask someone to have lunch or whatnot, and if they tell me no, well, technically, it's the story we make this mean. As Andy said before in some great coaching, is that we take an interpretation and then assign meaning to it, right? Is technically I'm the same, right? If I ask someone to go to lunch with me today and they say no, well, I'm technically in the exact same position I was. It's our mental state that tells the story, oh, I feel less than or worse off, right? Is I didn't have lunch plans before with that person and I still don't have lunch plans with them. And so I'm technically the same. It's just that the way that we see that, right? So it's how I love that statement. There's a video on my YouTube channel that goes into this topic in detail called Reframe Rejection. If you want to watch that, you can find that there. It's just Tiffany Peterson is my YouTube channel. But thinking about this for sure is I want you to consciously tell yourself a new story. Decide in this moment with us that you're going to have a new story about that fear. Because otherwise, again, it's like you'll survive rejection. Because the reality is as you put yourself out there, some will, right? Some won't. So what? Someone's waiting. The 4 SWs. And it's being aware that, yeah, that will happen. That some people, they won't get us. They won't vibe with us, and at least initially. Or they may not show up, or they may not buy from you. But the reality is that how are people going to find you in this powerful purpose that you have if you're not willing to put yourself out there? And so how we navigate disappointment, how we navigate rejection or the perceived concept of rejection, or, you know, is so important for all of you to look at and to become conscious of and to make conscious decisions so you're not being held hostage or sabotaging your results or your success based on a potential fear, right? So I just love for you to think through that for yourself and make some conscious choices about it, that you're technically the same. And a lot of that to me is just trusting, right? That the right person or the right experience or the right business leader is going to show up absolutely as you continue to shine and share your light of what it is that you're about, right? So those are some thoughts I just wanted to share as she shared that statement. Andy, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I love everything you've shared. And that's so powerful. It reminded me of a section of Brené Brown's book. I think it's Dare to Lead. She says, I recommend to everybody to cut out a 1-inch by 1-inch square of paper and write down on that list, that's all the space you get, who the people are whose opinion of you matter. So you write down whose opinion matters. And that should be a short list. And then once you get clear, she even takes it one step further and says, you could send them a message that says something like this: I'm getting clear on whose opinion of me matters to me. Thank you for being one of those people. I'm grateful you care enough to be honest and real with me. So first of all, I love that idea that at the end of our lives, your opinion polls, don't pile up to much, and they don't really matter. People don't say, I wish I'd been more, more of a people pleaser. They say things like, I wish I'd been more true to myself, my heart, who I am and what I wanted. So, and I think we could take that, the comment, it's fear of rejection that gets me blocked, that shuts me down. And we could fill it with anything. You know, it could be the fear of failure that shuts me down. It could be the fear of success. Some people fear success more than they do failure that shuts me down. And we would, we would say the same thing, that we get to feel the fear and do it anyways. Fear reframed is excitement. It's energy. It's enthusiasm. So loved your thoughts, Tiffany. Thank you so much for those shares.
Yeah. And I think too, at some level, this might sound simplistic, but the concept that life is short, do what makes you happy. And if you're like on fire and passionate and purposeful, the reality is that what matters more than anything is, rather than hustling for everyone else's approval, is do you approve of yourself? Do you have your own back, right? This is your one life. That's it. And you think like, oh, I'm going to wait till I have everyone's approval and then I'll go and do, versus like, look to the, I love that example, Andy, of this tiny square of how many people can fit, of whose opinion needs to matter. And a lot of times, again, this is a built up fear in our mind versus a reality, is that most people aren't sitting around thinking about you, talking about you, or judging you. They're sitting around in their lives or doing their lives thinking, or maybe even being afraid of what will other people think of them. Is to get about the work that's in your heart, to get about the life that wants to be lived through you, rather than regularly pulse taking, because it's just not even accurate. It's just an ingrained fear that I think we're trying to hopefully feel something around, versus realizing that this is your life. And if you feel called to doTERRA, you feel that this is a purpose, you know that this is a powerful place for you, then you need to be about that work.
Amen.
So pretty simple. I want to take on, I'm excited for Amanda's question you shared from Facebook. Do you want to read that, or do you want to address that first?
Yeah. So Amanda says, over the past 3 months, I've had some major personal upheavals, including major home renovations. So I haven't been able to focus on my business, but I have kept contact with my team. However, as I watch the impact on my business, I've begun to question my ability to rebuild, and in fact, feel like I have lost confidence in myself completely. What would you suggest I do first to build my confidence? I just feel lost. You want to start us off?
Yeah. I'm feeling good today.
I love it. In the groove.
I just love this call. And I know, I'm so glad we do this and that we meet, because I think this is so valuable for all of us, right? These universal principles. We can all relate to seasons, right? Seasons where it's like, hey, like in this case for Amanda, the season of home renovations, I've been very distracted. I haven't been as focused as I normally am. I feel like I've kind of lost my momentum, right? We have seasons where we're like, hey, we're really dialed in our business, we're really dialed in with our health. And then seasons we're totally not, or we're doing, we just go through things sometimes, different seasons. So number one, love, I'm just sending you a big hug about this, but I just want to help you realize how simple this really is. It really is. It's really, really simple. It's really important out of the gate that we discern that feelings and truth do not always align. I need you to write that down. Big bold letters for you in some notes. The rest of you, I invite you to do it too. Feelings and truth do not always align, right? Because you're saying, you're looking right now for a feeling. I've lost my confidence. What you're saying is, I'm looking for a feeling of confidence, but your worth is intact and your true sense of self is intact, right? And it's just being aware of that for yourself is, yes, sometimes we don't feel confident or we feel lost for sure. But it's really the reality. I was listening to Ange Peters' podcast yesterday. I was driving out to something. Her recent podcast, you guys, go give that a listen. Ange Peters, it's here in doTERRA, Double Diamond out of Canada. Love her Whole Fit Talks, right? So absolutely great podcast to listen to. But she was talking about and addressing some of this where people struggle with the group she's coaching. They're talking a lot about they're struggling keeping their schedule, right? In their doTERRA business, they're struggling to do the certain things. But here's the thing, love, is that when you say, I question my ability to rebuild, right? Number one, maybe we release, if it works for you, the word rebuild. And we just say, I'm growing, I'm building, I'm expanding, right? Because you're technically not starting over, right? I mean, sometimes we're starting a brand new leg, right? Or a new, exactly, I get this. But it's, think about all the knowledge and skill you've learned over the years or months, however any of you have been in doTERRA. So it's, you haven't lost that knowledge. You might have forgotten it for a moment, but it's coming back to what are the basics? I want you to ask yourself, Amanda, this. I want you to think strategically. What are the simple building basics I need to be doing every day? What are the pipes? What are the basics? What's the personal development? What are the things I need to do daily, weekly, and monthly to help me nourish a business? Because let's say right now, any one of us was, you know, let's say right now your health was out of alignment or you were like, oh my gosh, I'm 30 pounds heavier than I used to be. The reality is that you go, okay, you know, if I regularly do certain activities, I'm going to move in the right direction. Now, I may not lose that 30 pounds overnight, probably not, and that's not very healthy to do anyway. So similar, if you're like, yeah, I've lost my momentum, you may not get it back overnight where everyone on your team's engaged and everything's building and growing. But if you swing that axe every day and take those simple but tried and true actions daily of contacting, nourishing, hosting classes, showing up, you know, putting out good content, things like that. It's just timing. Like I know today, even though, you know, it's like different times my own fitness comes into where I'm like really into fitness and then I'm out of that loop. And so I know today that even if I'm out of that loop right now, but I know I get my body moving each day and I start to build back up my momentum and strengthen those muscles and go to yoga class and get on the treadmill or go for a trail run, whatnot. I know it's only a matter of time before I will sway the momentum back in my favor. If I'll just do those simple daily things. So you haven't lost it. It might feel that way, but that's a really important discernment. And it's okay to feel that way and to feel that for yourself. Maybe do a forgiveness process with yourself, the self-judgment that I hear that's potentially showing up for you. And just saying, okay, what did I learn in this season? And I chose other things. What do I choose in this season? It's a new day, a new beginning, right? Like we're in this energy of a lot of kiddos going back to school this week, last week, next week, in the weeks to come. And even if you don't have kiddos, you can still feel that vibe, at least I do for sure, where it's like, ooh, back to school, new beginning. And it's like, I'm going to lay out my new outfit to go back to school and get a new, you know, new workbook or notebook and some pens, pencils, that kind of fun thing.
Is it shopkeeper is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, trapper keeper. Yeah, to go along with my, what were those things called? What were those makeup boxes called, ladies, in the 90s? Not to like totally date ourselves, but they were like a kit caboodle thing. Oh, caboodles. Yeah, my trapper keeper and my caboodle. I need them both. With my bangs and yep. My guest jeans and my peg pants. Do you know I found guest jeans on Poshmark like 3 months ago and I bought them? They're vintage guest jeans with zippers on the side. You're welcome. They're coming at some point.
Thank you.
Andy and I digress. How many of you, but you can relate to this, that you're like, oh, I've lost my confidence. Do I have what it takes? Of course you have what it takes. It's just about, you need to make that new decision and yes, do the things that will nourish you. But it feels like this big thing mentally to overcome. And it really is such a simple flip of a switch. You say, well, where I'm at right now, new beginning. I'm re-engaged. And what are the daily, simple, weekly or monthly actions I need to take? And they're pretty simple. They really are. And if you do all these simple actions, they lead up to some significant momentum. So that's what's on my heart related to Amanda's question. Andy, what do you want to chime in on this? Because this is a juicy, good one.
Gosh, a big hearty amen. First of all, thank you so much. I would go back to the child analogy and how if we reduce the purpose of our life to getting back to being like a child, I just love the joy and the confidence of a child. I think about my four-year-old Leo, and he just takes on every new day with like his swords and his energy and a big fat yes. And he doesn't give a rip what anybody thinks of him. He's going to take it on. So I think it goes back to giving yourself permission to be, just release. It's only adults that get stuck. It's only that adult energy that chooses to hold on to and hang on to the negative thoughts and the resentment and these glass ceilings that are completely fabricated. A child, I've never seen my four-year-old Leo hold on to a grudge, even when he tries. Like, he cannot do it. He can't redefine himself as, you know, being stuck or being less than. And so I guess my core invitation is just go back to your four-year-old self. Go back to that joy, that exuberance, and break the habit of being the adult you, right? That's the Dr. Joe tip of the day is, that's where the joy, that's where the flow, ultimately confidence is, it's not the opposite of fear. It's the byproduct of feeling fear and moving through it. So I love how Brené Brown says that, you know, we often think that courage and vulnerability are mutually exclusive, but they're not. Courage is the path. Vulnerability is the path to courage. So you have to feel like you could get hurt, like it might go wrong, or it might, something might not be perfect, and then move forward. And that's how you get to courage, which is a feeling that I think you're after, Amanda. So those are a couple of my thoughts.
Love it. Courage and vulnerability. I love, love, love it. Thank you.
Good stuff. Okay. We've got, a question from Tabitha. So she says, I'm happy to be here. My husband and I have recently been able to free up quite a lot of time, so I'm able to focus more time on my doTERRA business. I've been in doTERRA for several years. I'm really excited to build this business. What's the best way to allocate my time to make the most of it? I want this time to be productive, but I find that I'm not good at time management. Well, Tiffany, you just happen to be the goddess and princess of time management. So
I do.
Take us there.
I didn't know I had such a regal and royal title, everybody. I've just been knighted in this.
You've got a whole video on nothing but that. So.
Oh, yes. Well, but I do want you to be thinking too about what you would say, hey, here are the key things you feel is most useful for her time with growing her business. I want to tag team this one. So that's exciting, Tabitha. How cool is that you have a new season, right? And a new season that's got more time and more space for this. I think for me, you know, it's having or being aware of, have you read or heard of a book called Essentialism? Mm. And Andy and Natalie introduced that to me a couple of years ago. And it's one of those annual for me. There's five books in my life I read or re-listen to every single year. They're one of my core staples. Essentialism is one of those. And so I really love conceptually the content being taught there about what is essential and what's non-essential, right? Like, this would be a great assignment for all of you to look at and make a list. What are your absolute essentials? And you can do this in every category of your life with your goals, from your health to your marriage to your home to, of course, then your doTERRA business. Is what are my essentials? What are my non-essentials? Because we're often distracted by a lot of noise that aren't really essentials, right? Like, we can all relate to that, where we maybe have our email dinging us all the day long, or you have your social media notifications still coming to your cell phone. If you're doing that still, you don't need to pay me any money to hear this free coaching tip. I want you to pull up your settings right now, all of you, if this is you, and turn off every notification from social media. You do not need to know every time someone likes your Instagram photo. It's brilliant on the app side because it pulls you back into the app over and over again. But I truly believe that half of the time management battle, so to speak, 50% of that is how do you manage your distractions, right? Or sometimes your non-essentials. And so really thinking about that, there are different videos on my YouTube channel. One is called Take Your Time Back. And then there's some others there on planning. But it's really being intentional about what are your essentials. Well, in my opinion, the core foundational essential in growing your business is connecting with other people. Number one priority. Now that's the general, that's a general statement, connecting with other people. But you're gonna, I would invite you to think about your schedule that 50%, based on where your team is at, if you're a brand new team or have a small team, then it might look more like 70-30. And 70% of your time is in focusing on recruiting and recruiting type activities where you're nourishing new relationships, getting people to become enrollments and signups, classes, one-on-ones. And then 30% would be in mentoring time and nourishing your existing team and leaders. If you're more like a gold and above, then you're going to probably definitely be more 50-50. If you're more diamond and above, then you're maybe going to be more like 40-60, where you're spending majority or more of your time developing your existing leaders and existing team members, because how you create sustainability and long-term success in doTERRA is through having, of course, great leaders who are under you and then developing their leaders under them and so forth, that we're creating what we call, again, a downline, where that, but it's a healthy, thriving downline. And we want to spend time nourishing, leading, doing leadership trainings, calls, mentoring, fun and gathering with your people, things like that. And so it's just thinking about based on where your business is at. If you're just getting started, or you're at a, say, you know, a premier position or silver, then you're probably still spending, yes, definitely time developing who you have, but that your time that you do have allotted to is new business. So I really would even identify that in your schedule is what days or what part, you know, some of you do, you know, mornings could be existing team and afternoon is new build or vice versa, or maybe Tuesdays and Thursdays, you really put focus on marketing to or follow up with new contacts, where Monday and Wednesday perhaps are more in the time of your existing team. So I think it's being aware of this for yourself is to say, okay, thinking strategically about what are the core essentials to grow my business. Well, that's nourishing and developing your people, nourishing and developing enrollments, right? And thinking about the activities that help you do that. Just thinking about your schedule. There's also a video on my YouTube channel called Office Hours for the Entrepreneur. Highly, highly encourage it, because see, what can happen is when we're self-employed and when we have this time and space without office hours or clear priorities, again, I really love some of the things Ange was talking about on that podcast. I know I've already shared that. Definitely give that a listen here as well, because she is really a productivity ninja. But thinking about this for yourself is like, okay, what are the essentials that give the life force to my business that they're prioritized? But sometimes without office hours, as an entrepreneur or self-employed individual, what can happen too often is we let, again, our emotions dictate, or we get lost on social media for an hour or two because we don't have a firm set, maybe appointment, and it's up to us to get around to it, right? Get around to, you know, making those calls or hosting those classes or going out and networking and connecting, is to have office hours, I think is really, really important. Otherwise, you can let it just bleed all over your week, versus what we're after isn't the quantity of time, it's the quality of focus and productivity, because your productivity is what will create the paycheck, right? That's what we're after, is how to help be more dialed in. So those are some initial thoughts, and to be thinking strategically about what are my essentials, non-essentials, where do they live in my schedule, you know, that kind of thing, is I just want you to be thinking that way. But then literally in your schedule, deciding, just like if you ran the corner bakery in your town, if that bakery had the most random hours where it's like, well, I guess I'll just work right now, or I guess I'll work then, or I'm not sure, like you would never get traction. Does that make sense? Like, because your clientele, it's like they would never know, versus like, hey, the bakery's open from 9 to 3 every day. right? And those are the hours you can, I'm here, and what you can expect. So those are some thoughts. Andy, anything you want to add to that?
Just amen. I love it.
Okay.
Yep. The pipes. I mean, you nailed it. It's all about prioritizing the IPE, right? The invite, present, and roll. If you make excuses to not do those, then I can tell you which way your business is going to go.
Yeah. So true.
Okay. We've got, I think it's Gail on with us. She raised her hand, and all we have is an email address. I'm going to assume that your name is Gail. Can you hear us?
She might need to unmute herself.
I hear an airplane. So I think you're on live, Gail. Can you hear us?
Oh, me, Gail?
I think so. Did you not mean to raise your hand?
No, but that, since I'm on, thank you guys so much for what you do. It's just huge. I just shared this call with all of my, everyone actually, leader or not, no leader, because it's, or you're not, or, you know, or you're not yet, I guess, because it's such good life lessons. So thank you guys just for what you do.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you so much for chiming in.
Gail, since you're with us, is there anything that, you know, because serendipitously we're live with you, is there anything that's on your heart or that you want support with or that you're thinking about?
No, I just out walking my dogs and I lost you guys and then it just went back. And so I think it just raised the hand. You know what I mean?
All right.
Shoot. I don't know. I mean, like, you guys are so awesome. I don't know. I think, the inviting, I'm into some kind of a mental thing, but I lost my grandson a couple months ago. And so I'm still kind of reeling, recovering from that. And, I think it's just continuing and sharing, you know, and then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know. So yeah, take the next one and the next people, because people are asking such good questions. So, yeah.
Well, I do wanted to say to you, first of all, I'm just so sorry to hear about that loss. And
yeah,
it is love. And I'm just sending you a big hug and, you know, heart healing. I just feel, I know regularly when my heart's heavy, you know, I pull out the rose and the geranium for my heart, you know, and other, I mean, there's lots of oils that I think are good with that, but just honoring that that is a significant loss and you will go through different emotions and feelings through that. So this to be good to you.
Yeah. Sending you lots of love. Thanks for being with us and sharing the love.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we've got a great question from Samantha. She says, I am afraid to call people. It's easier when the door has been opened by a comment. Like somebody saying I'm sick again or allergies suck. Or if they show interest, but I tend to steal chicken out and send a message. I've worked at a collection agency where I had to call people even with an automatic dialer. She gives more examples of calling. She says, I'm having trouble trying to figure out why I can't do it for myself. What suggestions you might have? Thank you in advance. Love this time each week with y'all. You want to start us off?
I love this. Samantha, it's like you've had like the perfect training, you know? But this just goes to show what I love about her example is even if you've had the perfect training, the right background, the right resume, that you can still deal with the feelings that come up for you and the mindset and the storytelling about the fear of what will people think of me? Because that's really what's running this show, right? The reason why any of us don't follow up, because we know it's like, how many of you already know that follow-up is a big part of your success in this business or success in life, period. Whatever you're going to do, like follow-up is a big part of it, but it's the story we're telling and what we're making it mean and the fear of, ooh, now I'm putting myself on the line. Now I totally get this because when I was for myself, I've been on my own little business now, almost 10 years coming up on that pretty soon here in the next few months. And before that, I worked for some greats, Franklin Covey, Stephen Covey, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup for the Soul, And I helped them make millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars selling personal coaching for them. And then I was their corporate trainer. And so it was really easy, even though I still had, I was also inside sales on the phone day in and day out, calling, dialing, you know, connecting, asking, and so forth. And I get you. And I also went through something similar. It's like when I left working corporate for those brands and I went out on my own and started building my own little Tiff business, you know, or Tiffany or Tiffany, right? But my little business, the Lighthouse Principles, and I put myself out there. I definitely went through some similar things as, ooh, like it was, I was such a confident salesperson, rock star, owning it corporately for those brands because I so believed in those brands. And I so was about their messages and their training and their principle-based content. And I was a top salesperson for them, right? Top 10 is what they would call it. But I also went through it. So I have empathy and I get it, love, is that when it's now you that you're selling or putting yourself out there, we can still feel some of the same things. One of the best ways, again, to overcome the fear of rejection or some of this call avoidance is to heavily get anchored into purpose and to service. And that we make it about them, like I'm here to serve them versus, ooh, how do I sound? How do I look? How do I this and that? Like sometimes I can get into that. And one of my foundational principles, foundational, and I'm just going to tell you exactly what I do every time before I speak, before I got on this coaching call, I've done this for how many years we've done this call before I get here, before I coach, before I speak, sometimes before I get in the Uber or go to the airport, whatever it might be, but specifically before I'm in coach mode or I'm going to be, whether I'm contacting someone or I'm in coaching or speaking, is one of the ways that I either negate my own nerves. I don't get that nervous to show up and be on this Zoom with y'all anymore. I mean, sometimes, I mean, Andy Goddard can make someone a little nervous, but you know, he is a really big deal. And it's like, sometimes I don't want to fanfare out on him, you know? So, or be like, can I get your autograph kind of thing? So I have to manage those nerves, but for the most part, it's a combination of connecting to purpose and to, and it's a natural way to overcome those nerves, is that I have the same prayer that I've been using for years, that I learned part of that from Oprah Winfrey, where she would talk about her path of success when she was interviewed about this years ago and talking about her path and her experiences, that she talked about that every day she got up and would, she would say the same prayer. And that prayer was, use me, God, use me. And whether you say prayer or you say set an intention, whatnot, is before you make those calls, use me, God, use me. Some of you might say source or universe, whatnot, but to get into the energy of service significantly negates the nerves. It takes the focus off you, which is where the nerves come from, right? Like before I speak or get on a stage or get on a call or whatever, and I'm like, if I'm feeling nervous, it's because it's about me. It's about, how do I look? How do I sound? Am I going to be light? What's the vibe here? You know, this kind of thing versus I'm prepared to serve. Help me, guide me. Use me, God, use me. And I use that, like for me, when I talk about having an anchor piece, like you can't see it, but above me is two marble shelves. And there's a frame picture of me speaking on a large convention stage for a jewelry company in Las Vegas years back. And there's the slide that I have in my slide deck that says, use me, God, use me. And it's me standing in front of it. And it's, I printed it and framed it. And then this piece of artwork here to the side on my wall, you can see it's right there. That artwork is a vision of my mom drew or painted this for me. My mom's a great artist. And it's a woman giving her heart to the world surrounded by angels, right? Is show up and give the heart, give your gift, right? And so those are just simply anchor pieces. You can write your mission or purpose. You don't have to have fancy artwork or anything like that. But regularly add a ritual, right? And that's what you need, love, before you're going to make these calls, before you host or teach the classes. I'm asking all of you to think about what are your pregame rituals, right? That center you and anchor you. And now that I've done them so long, they just become second nature by me, where I'm dropping into the energy of being on purpose to be of service, right? Because you know how to pick up the phone. Every one of you knows when you say, I can't make the calls. I'm like, wait, you don't know how to like dial on the keypad? Like you know how to dial and you know how to text or email. It's that we have this mental block because, again, we're typically pretty afraid we're going to be judged. Are we going to be liked? We don't want to get it wrong. And that's where we want to come back to. I want to make an impact. I want to make a difference in other people's lives. And of course, you can be lighthearted about it. Most of you guys, I'm telling you this, most of you guys could not be salesy if you tried. You just don't have that bone in your body, right? You just don't. You couldn't. I mean, and I'm not saying to try to challenge you to say, watch, I'm going to go be salesy. But the reality is you just aren't even that way. It's just not who you are. But it's choosing to say, okay, I'm just going to connect with them. And you can let them know that, like, hey, I just wanted to follow up with you. It was so great to meet you and wanted to make sure you had what you needed and would love to share this with you. Or is there, what's, how, you know, how's that sample gone? Or what's this thing? Or how are you doing with that? Is there anything I can do to support you? And I call them connection calls. You just make them about connecting and connection and support. That is the game changer, right? Is that it's not about, hey, are you ready to buy? Is not the question you're asking. You're asking and supporting and educating, and learning to ask better questions to help them move forward. But this is so much a mindset question is what she's talking about, because clearly if you've worked for a collection agency, you know how to get on the phone with people and, you know, make that phone, dial that up. You know how to do it. It's just the mindset about what that you're making that mean about you.
So good. Thank you so much for that share, Tiff.
Andy, anything you want to add to that?
Oh man, you nailed it. Such a simple little mindset shift, you know, switching to service, but seriously, that is the heart of it. And I love in your comment, Samantha, how you've really done such a great self-assessment. Like you've really, I mean, you've said it yourself, right? Like, for some reason you've managed to build other people's agenda and build other people's dreams and build other people's pipelines, but you haven't, you're feeling stuck doing it for yourself. So I would just ask you that question of why have I believed in other people's dreams more than my own? Why have I chosen to invest in their agenda and not my own? Why have I bought into their why more than my why? And those are powerful questions for all of us to ask. I mean, marketing works, right? Like, why do we believe so heavily in certain brands and certain, you know, stories? And it's all marketing. So I would maybe journal on that question of, what is your why and, what is it going to take for you to believe more in your life purpose than somebody else's? I have a really close friend who has spent their lives writing books, and they're really like life-changing, like next-level books, you know? And they've also spent their life complaining that nobody's buying their books. And the longer I've thought about this, because it's someone who's so close to me, the more I've come to realize that it's marketers that control the sound waves. It's marketers who control what messages get put out there and if people listen. So that old phrase, if you build it, they will come, it just isn't true. If you market it, they will come. And so I've just, the longer I'm in doTERRA, the longer I just have this incredible conviction that it's us, the marketers, who run the world, who control what values get put out there, what products get promoted. It doesn't matter how good your book is, unless you market it. And unless you help build that bridge of why it's going to change someone's life and how it's going to serve them. So I just want to tell you, Samantha, that you have the power and you have the training to change the world. And so the second you choose to believe that, look out world, because you will be on fire, you'll be on purpose, and nothing can stop you. So I'm super passionate about this, because this friend of mine who's so close to me will never change the world until they put on the marketer's hat and go out and do what you're feeling called to do, which is to pick up that phone and to share the message that you feel called to share. So those are my 2 cents.
I love that. And I think too, because then some of you might not have some resistance to saying, like when Andy's saying marketers run the world, and you're like, oh, but maybe I'm not that person, and you just make this judgment of it. But it's like, really, a marketer is someone who has a message, who's just willing to share their message. That's the real question, is are you willing to share your message? And a lot of this, like as Barbara's asking on Facebook Live, why is it so much harder to market yourself? The why is the booby prize, as my other mentor would say, you know, figuring out the why. I think we can get really clear that the why has everything to do with the fear of being judged, right? Which we've covered over and over again today. It just matters that you come back to like what Andy's saying, what I'm sharing, is making your purpose and your why bigger than yourself, bigger than your fears, that like, hey, we're here to serve and we're here to add this value. And again, like taking all this energy away from the machine, what will other people think of me, versus what kind of impact can I possibly make, right? What kind of impact am I making? And then Samantha, I'm going to ask, as your coach, and I appreciate your bravery to share this, I'm going to ask that you're accountable, that you're going to contact. I want you to get on the phone today. I don't want you thinking and thinking and getting ready to get ready to get ready to get ready. I want to know that you're at least going to contact 5 people today. If you'll let me know in the chat box that you accept that assignment. And the rest of you, the same thing, is that we can theorize and strategize all we want, right? And at some level, you're waiting, we get stuck in the like getting ready to get ready to get ready to get ready to get ready to take the action. We're waiting for a feeling to show up. Mm-hmm. You're waiting to feel perfectly confident before you'll do the action. And the reality is that many times you have to take fear by the hand and say, babe, we're doing this anyway. We're getting on the ski lift. I will pick up the phone. I will put myself out there. I'll do the thing. Is that, you see, when I said that earlier today, we have now this example again, reinforcing that sometimes you're waiting for a feeling before we'll do the action. And I invite you to get into purpose. If you pray, if you're the praying type, or if you set intentions to pray, set the intention, and then get after it and show up and just connect. Okay, she's in. She's saying, yes, ma'am. She's going to do it.
I love that so much. And maybe that's our wrap up for today is, like you said, knowing why is the booby prize. There's a chemical payoff in our brain when we have an aha, when we understand a concept for the first time, or even when it's brought back to our remembrance. But that's the booby prize, right? Like understanding is not the payoff. Doing it is, taking action is, opening your mouth and being bold and being courageous. That's the real payoff. And so we want to honor you and give you big high fives. If anything that we share on this call connects with you, and now we want to kick your butt and say, now go do it. Like, let's not be the people who sit around campfires and just sing kumbaya. Let's be the people who get out and take actions. Mm-hmm. And we use our hands and our feet. I don't know if you guys have seen the music video about healing hands, that's called Hands Will Speak. But Mark, if you could post a link to that, that's the message that I want to wrap up with today, is that our words are beautiful and they're nice, but it's our hands that speak. It's our actions that matter. So let's take thoughts and let's go out and be courageous. Let's be bold. Let's care more about our why and our mission than everybody else's.
Yeah. I just love that. Thank you for sharing that. It's so true. Your brain chemically, it's like loves the why or the understanding of it and so forth. But I remember when I was, again, being mentored years ago, it's like, even if you figure out the why you hold back, why you struggle to market yourself, why you deal with self-doubt, maybe you can identify, oh, I had a checked out father or mother in my life, or I went through this experience, or I was bullied in the ninth grade or whatever those things, and have empathy for that. But there's still this place that even if you have it figured out, and all of us, everyone you know has been through stuff. It's just now the capacity to make a choice is to say, okay, even if I know why I struggle with self-confidence, even if I know why it's harder for me to market myself, and even if we're like, well, it's because I'm afraid of being judged, you still have to make the decision, will I market myself? Will I market my message? Will I make the calls? Will I host the class? Am I going to take the action? Because the universe doesn't pay you for what you know, right? We all know a lot. It's going to pay you for what you do and the actions that you take. And again, we get stuck waiting to feel a different feeling before we take the action. And that's my hope, is why we gather here every single week, is not to just be one more way that, because sometimes we can utilize personal development as a pacifier. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of personal development, obviously. I read and listen daily. I'm investing in my brain, hire my own coaches, attend different things, so forth, because I definitely believe in investing in the vessel. And we love hosting this space for the purpose of growth and development. But that sometimes, if we're not careful, we can be using personal development as one more way that we're avoiding doing the work. Mm-hmm. Showing up and having the real conversations with our spouse, like the woman you talked about in Australia, and really, you know, investing there, or developing our skills, or getting out there with our leaders, or hosting the classes, or doing the booth at the trade show, or making the follow-up calls, is that if we're not, I just want to be sensitive to that, that we're not using personal development as a way that we're, you know, putting off doing what we feel called to do, right? Do you feel called to share doTERRA? Do you feel like you know that these products and tools and the culture and the people and the training has changed your life? I want all of you to ask that. And if it has, and it does, then it's thinking and asking yourself, what actions can I take today to share this message with more people? How can I move forward, take action, versus thinking about or getting